Welcome to Census Pod. This is our second podcast program with Dr. Melanie Pelliccia. Dr. Pelliccia is Assistant Professor of Psychology in the Psychiatry Department at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. In our discussion today, she will provide details about her work on autism and with children with autism. What are the critical features of intervention for young children with autism?
When we're thinking of the critical features of intervention for young children with autism, I think the first thing that's really important to note is that there is no one-size-fits-all approach. Autism is such a wide-range spectrum. Each individual family has unique needs and circumstances, and there isn't going to be one approach that is best for each individual child and each individual family. And so I think one of the most important features of intervention for young children with autism is that it's individualized for each individual child and each individual family, while pulling in core elements that are shown and proven to be effective. I think we wanna make sure that whatever intervention style is being used is that it's evidence-based, that it has strong science to support it as being effective with many children with autism, that it has been shown to be effective in a community setting with many different children, not just in a research laboratory. When we're working with families, we want to make sure that each individual intervention style takes into account the entire family. And so many of these interventions are difficult to implement. They require a lot of training and a lot of time. And not all families have the same resources or ability to participate in these high impact kind of interventions. And so it's important that each individual family unit is considered when designing interventions. That means the number of hours of intervention, that means the type of intervention, that means the location of intervention. It's really important that the entire family unit is considered. And when designing interventions, packages for children with autism, it's important that they're strengths-based, that they are focused on each individual child's needs individually, and that they are targeting developmentally appropriate skills. When we're working with children with autism, it's important to consider their overall cognitive profile and overall child development, and use that information to guide the goals of the treatment. You'll hear that interventions should be based in applied behavior analysis, and certainly there is a strong body of literature that supports the use of applied behavior analysis as being an important aspect of each child's intervention. I think it's also important to consider that there are other professionals that children with autism are often working with, and that's important for all of these professionals to interact and to collaborate and to come up with a cohesive treatment plan for each child. And so speech and language pathologists, occupational therapists, special education teachers, psychologists, and of course medical professionals are all part of a child's treatment team. And it's important that all of those professionals are working together with the family collaboratively. One of the other critical features of intervention for young children with autism is that it's data-based, meaning that there is a easily understandable way to track each child's progress, and that decisions are being made about that child's progress based on ongoing progress monitoring. If we see that a child is making progress, and that's a great indicator that the treatment is going well, and it's also a good indicator that it's time to update that child's goals, develop new goals in partnership with the family, and evaluate the types of treatment that that child is receiving to ensure that they continue to make progress. If the data is showing that the child is not making progress, then that's also really important information to make sure that we are making changes to help that child make progress see that progress more readily. I think overall, the most important critical feature of intervention for young children with autism is that it is tailored to fit each individual child's needs, that it's based in applied behavior analysis, that it's data-based, that it's collaborative with different professionals, and that above all, it takes each individual family's needs into account and involves parents as the primary partners in that child's treatment.
How has the field of treatment for children with autism changed over the course of your career?
The field of autism treatment has changed quite a bit over the course of my career, over the past 20 years or so that I've been in this line of work. And so I think it's changed notably in the collaborative, interdisciplinary approach that often we're seeing happening with children with autism, which I think actually is a great change. And so, you know, in the 90s, 80s, I think when we started to understand the kinds of treatments that were effective for children with autism, and we had some good data to show proof of those, of that effectiveness for certain kinds of treatments. There was a lot, there were two main camps, I would say. And so there was the behavioral camp and there was the developmental camp. And unfortunately, those two camps didn't really talk to each other. And there was a lot of disagreement among the autism treatment field about what was the best approach for treating children with autism. And so certainly applied behavior analysis, which is, you know, like I said earlier, where I started in my career, was the intervention of choice. There was growing publicity to show that this was an effective treatment. We saw many children making great gains. And there was, it led to advocacy from parents, and it led to widespread change in access to care. And so, you know, 20 years ago, families often had to fight for access to applied behavior analysis. They had to strongly advocate for their child to be able to receive this kind of treatment. And while that's certainly true in some regards today, it, you know, there is, you know, much more access to this kind of high quality care than there was 20 years ago. So that's one thing that I think has changed. That's really great. We still have a long way to go in reducing those disparities among different populations and making sure that all children have access to high quality care. But it's certainly moved in the right direction. I think clinically something that has changed over, you know, the past couple of decades is the idea of having a behavioral paradigm versus a developmental paradigm, and all of these different approaches working in opposition to each other and instead of working together. And so what we've seen happening over the last decade or so is a new breed of interventions for children with autism that lie at the intersection of behavioral approaches and developmental approaches. And so we're calling these naturalistic developmental behavioral interventions, or NDBI. And we see that these approaches are a combination or an intersection of both behavioral approaches that have a strong evidence base for being effective for children with autism, and developmental approaches, which also have some really exciting and child-focused, family-focused aspects to them that I think when used in combination provide a more holistic approach to working with the child. And so we are doing things that are more play-based now. We are working with children in their natural environments as opposed to in more rigid, structured kind of environments. We're seeing more family involvement in treatment than we did before, which I think is a great thing, and we should be seeing more of that. And we're seeing that these approaches are focused on developmentally appropriate gains and making sure that there's a good combination of both behavioral science and developmental science to guide the overall treatment approach for young children with autism. One more thing to add to that about how the field of treatment has changed over the past couple of decades is thinking about how parents are involved in treatment, and we're seeing more of a focus on families being involved in treatment. We're also seeing a shift towards intervening earlier in a child's life. And so we're seeing interventions that are being implemented with toddlers and infants at a much earlier age, which, you know, hopefully will change the course of the trajectory of autism. And we will see rapid improvements if we're intervening earlier. And so it's really exciting to see children being identified earlier and us being able to intervene at an earlier time point in their lives.
That's both interesting and very promising. Which brings me to the next question. How do parents participate in their child's treatment?
There are lots of different ways that parents can participate in their child's treatment, especially young children. And most of my work is with young children, and young children, I mean, you know, under 5 years of age. And so I'll focus on those. But I think even within that young age group, there are many different ways that families can participate. I think we've seen a shift in that over the years, where we are seeing parents take a more active role in their child's treatment. We are seeing interventions that are parent mediated now more than ever. We weren't seeing those before. 10, 20 years ago, they certainly wasn't what most people working with children with autism were doing. But now we're seeing a shift, and we're seeing that interventions are being implemented and designed with parents in mind as having an active role in delivering the treatment components. We're seeing something called parent coaching happening more often. It's something that the bulk of my research right now is focused on, figuring out how we can support parents to learn how to implement evidence-based techniques with their children throughout their daily routines and throughout their daily lives. I think this is a challenge for many families who are struggling with navigating, you know, having a busy life, having a child with significant needs, and being able to just get through a mealtime or any other sort of daily routine, like dressing and bathing and going out into the community. And we're seeing a lot of interventions being developed now that have a nice evidence base behind them, that are showing if we can show parents, coach them through the implementation of these techniques during their daily lives, that we see improvements in parents' empowerment, in their sense of self-efficacy. We see some nice improvements in children's language skills within their daily routines, and parents' overall sense of confidence in implementing these intervention techniques. I think that when we're thinking about how best to improve parent involvement, I think we have to take each individual family unit under consideration, knowing that some families are going to be able to have more of an active role than others for a myriad of reasons, whether it be, having other children, having a busy work life, having mental health or medical issues that interfere with their ability to do the active treatment components. There are many reasons that it can be challenging, but I think part of a clinician's approach should be one that is figuring out how to involve each individual family in a way that's supportive and empowering, so that they are, you know, ultimately their child's number one teacher and will be their teacher throughout their lives. And so if we can partner with parents and coach them in learning how to use these evidence-based intervention techniques in a way that isn't burdensome, then we're seeing that families are benefiting from that tremendously. And I think as a field, we are trying to do more and more of that, and trying to learn how to implement that more often in the community with most families who are accessing their care. This is a definite shift from what autism treatment looked like, 20 years ago, where it was more therapist implemented, where a child would receive, many, many hours a week of intervention each week. And that was always implemented by a therapist who would work with the child, let the parent know what they worked on for sure. But the parent being actively involved in delivering the intervention is something that was not happening as often as it is now. And so I think we're seeing this as being a highly important aspect of intervention that is happening more and more often, especially when we're looking at families of young children with autism, and something that we as a field need to figure out how to do more effectively, so that it's empowering more families to be able to have an active role in their child's treatment.
Finally, this brings me to the last question. What, in your view, should an early education program for young children with autism look like?
That's a great question. And like, I've been saying throughout this conversation, I think each individual family and each individual child are at the center of what needs to be considered for what a comprehensive early education package would look like. Those certainly will look different for different children and different families. But I do think there are some things that should be included for most, if not all, families. I think one of the most important things that we're seeing as having really, really important effects for a child and for the family is, like I said, long-term family involvement in that care. And so I think making sure that the family is an active agent in making decisions for that child, for the types of services that child is receiving, that they are actively involved in deciding what kinds of goals the child should be working on, how those goals are implemented, what kinds of strategies are used to work on those goals. All of that is really important. And while certainly professionals will drive the implementation of the goals, I think the parents and the family should be at the steering wheel driving how those are decided upon. I think something else that's really important for early education is that the need for inclusion with typically developing peers from an early age. And I think this is a shift from a lot of traditional behavioral programs for young children with autism that are often delivered in a segregated format where children are educated alongside other children with autism. We're seeing some great benefits for inclusion from an early age. We're seeing improvements in social communication and lots of really important language skills and in social engagement, really critical features to a diagnosis of autism that when inclusion is implemented in a way that supports the child with autism's targeted needs, alongside typically developing peers who can provide excellent models for social interaction and language skills, it can have a really, really great benefit for the child with autism and also for the typically developing child. I think it's important to note that inclusion doesn't mean just allowing a child with autism or other special needs to be enrolled in a, regular preschool setting. When we're talking about effective inclusion, we're talking about developing systems within that classroom that actively support the child with special needs and meeting their goals in a targeted, systematic way, but doing that while embedded within a natural classroom routine alongside their typically developing peers. And so this might mean small groups within a larger classroom, small groups comprised of children with autism and children who do not have autism learning alongside each other. You might have some more targeted individual lessons happening within the confines of that classroom as well. And you're seeing lots of different things happening all within the same classroom with lots of different styles of learners, but all happening alongside each other in a cohesive way. I think that when this is done and done well, it can be a really, really critical aspect of early education for children with autism that hopefully we'll see more of instead of the segregated classrooms that we often see happening for delivery of specialized targeted intervention. It's definitely something that we're excited to do more of and hope to see others doing more of as well. When we're thinking about early education classrooms, some other important things to consider are that they're play-based, that kids are having fun, that they are learning alongside teachers who are engaging each of them in a way that's developmentally appropriate, that there are good routines in place, that there's good structure in place in that classroom, and all of that is happening within a play-based, child-led format. I think that this is really critical for early education for all children, and especially critical for children with autism, that there is an environment rich with learning opportunities embedded throughout the day, that it's a language-rich environment, that there are many opportunities for play and learning through play and teaching play in a way that is language-rich, and that children are being exposed to lots of different opportunities for engaging with each other socially throughout their day within a classroom environment.
Well, with those insightful words, it's been a pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure, and it was great to talk with you.